You're listening to Amazing Discoveries Audio. This is Heal Your Body, Mind, and Spirit with Barbara O'Neill. Episode 11, Natural Pain Relief Strategies.
Pain is debilitating, and I think every single person at some time in their life has experienced pain. So how do you deal with pain using natural remedies? Because we certainly know that medicine has some strong painkillers, and at times that can be incredibly helpful. So I'm going to give you a few illustrations of experiences that we've had at the health retreat, even my own personal experiences. So the first thing to ask if someone has pain of any sort is why? When I did a skydive with my daughter for her 19th birthday, I was 49er, I don't mind planes. When I was 16, my father was learning to fly, and us kids all had turns going up and down and up and down. My husband says to me they would not allow that today. But I don't mind heights, I love flying. And so when she said, "Mum, will you do a skydive with me for my 19th birthday?" I said, "Yep, okay, I will." Well, it was quite fun, but I didn't land quite right. I was supposed to hold my legs up and you connected to another guy, because I've never flown before, and you free fall for 3 minutes, and that's quite incredible. And then he pulls the parachute, and it's a parachute that went like that, and from time to time he goes like that and you spin around, and that was quite fun. And I'm supposed to hold my legs up, and his legs, and he had big strong boots on, would land, and then he'd tap me and I could let my feet down. Well, we're just about to land, and a little tuft of wind blew us sideways, and my natural reaction was my arm and my foot went out, and my foot landed before his feet. And I heard a loud pop and excruciating pain. Oops. Anyway, he unpacked me and they got the phone, and I'm just rolling around in, ah. And have you ever bitten your finger when you got sort of pain there? It sort of takes the edge off the pain. What is interesting is that our body has different processes that begin as soon as we're in pain. And those processes help us to deal with it. So I was biting my finger, and I think we all know, if you hit your head on a bit of metal or something, oh, does that hurt? But it eases. Have you noticed? It eases. It's excruciating for the first 5 minutes, and then it starts to ease. And of course, it did start to ease. And then the ambulance arrived, and the ambulance arrived probably about 15 minutes later. By then, my 10 pain I see is extreme, hardly able to handle it, had gone down to about a 5 out of 10 pain. And the paramedic jumped out of the back of the ambulance with an injection. He went to give me the injection. I said, "No." And he looked at me. I said, I want to feel my pain. And maybe if it was 10 out of 10 pain, I would have considered it, but it had come down to a 5 out of 10 pain. I said, "No, I can handle this pain. I can handle a 5, and I think most people can handle a 5 out of 10 pain." I said, I can handle a 5 out of 10 pain. I said, because that pain's going to tell me what I can and can't do to that foot. You'd never heard anything like this before. He said, "Okay." So they took me into hospital, and I was lying in a bed in casualty. I think you'd call it emergency in the US. And it had a curtain between us, and my daughter was there, and my son and my other stepdaughter, they'd all jumped together, so they were all there. So I was lying in bed, just lying there, and my pain was, I don't know, 4 and 5 out of 10, which I think is manageable. And they kept coming in and saying, "Do you want painkillers?" And I said, "No, I don't want painkillers." And the lady in the bed next to me, I think she was a drug addict, she was crying out for painkillers. They wouldn't give them to her. And I was rejecting them. Anyway, finally the doctor came, and he looked at my foot, and I could turn my foot sideways. I could move it up and down. I could wiggle my toes. I looked at him and I said, nothing's broken. I said, nothing's broken, because I had movement. And he said, oh, you really should have a x-ray. But he said, we're pretty caught up, so it's going to be 2 hours till you can get an x-ray. I said, nah, I'll be right. So my son, my big son, Peter, picked me up and took me out, and we drove home. And then that night I put a poultice on it. Now, what I put on my foot was a comfrey poultice. So let me write a few things that comfrey does. So comfrey is quite a remarkable herb. So comfrey contains a growth stimulant, so it stimulates rapid healing. And the sooner the healing happens, stimulant, the better, of course. It also is anti-inflammatory. And anti-inflammatory is important because that's going to keep the inflammation down. And I find in many cases the inflammation's causing the pain, because that area of the body swells and that tightens and all the nerve endings are getting stretched. That hurts. Also, it contains a lubricant which can lubricate joints. But probably this is the one that is most responsible for the pain relief. So I had comfrey growing. In the summer, we grind up the leaves, the spring and summer, and in the winter, we grate up the root, because all the healing properties go into the root in the winter, whereas in the summer, they're in the leaves. So I put a comfrey poultice on my foot, and I went to sleep. And I was able to sleep, praise be to God. Whenever I put a poultice, I always pray. I say, Father in heaven, please add your blessing to this compress. Now, the next day, I had a plane ticket to the US. I'd been planning this for 6 months. I was going to stay with my daughter for 2 weeks, and nothing was going to stop me. That's why I wanted to get home. And because I could move the foot sideways, up and down, wiggle my toes, I thought, I haven't sprained it. It's just, you know, I haven't broken it. I've just badly sprained it. Anyway, I had to have crutches to get to the airport. I got on the plane and everything was fine for about an hour. And then this started to boom, especially if I got up. If I was able to keep my foot up. Now, this is something that's so important with pain, is you've got to listen. There are whole books written on this. You know what it's called? Mindfulness. So when my foot was up, my foot was happy. But if my foot went down, and the only time it went down is if I had to go to the bathroom. And when you're a water drinker, you got to go to the bathroom probably every few hours. And the flight's, I don't know, 14-hour flight. Whenever I came back, this pain was getting up to an 8, 9 out of 10, and I quickly put it up. The air hostess came past, and she saw that I was in pain, and she said to me, can I get you some painkillers? And I said to her, no, can you get me ice? So they brought me ice. I put the ice on and the ice got the swelling right down. Now what I had to do with the ice, I put it on, and when it really started to hurt from the ice, I take the ice off. When that pain settled down, I put the ice back on. So I went on and off with the ice until the whole area was numbed. And I brought it back down to about a 2 out of 10 pain. And then I'll be all right for a couple of hours, and then it's time to visit the little house again. And so that's what I did on the plane trip. I got to my daughter's, and yes, they had to hire a wheelchair for me, and I had crutches. In fact, most of the pain was under my arms. Well, why have I got pain under my arms? Because my arms aren't used to putting their weight on this. But when I wasn't walking with crutches, it didn't hurt. I actually found it just easy to crawl everywhere. And my daughter's little boy, in fact, her little boy is about 6 foot 2 now, but he was just a little baby at the time. I found I could carry him if I just kneeled around. And what I did was I went on my back and I did exercises every day. I'd lay on my bike and do bikes. I also did the hot and colds. So the hot and colds are also a very powerful way to deal with pain. So what do I mean by hot and colds? What I did was I got two buckets. And in the hot, we've talked about this in other presentations, the hot I did for 3 minutes. Because for that first 3 minutes, when you apply hot water to the body, it has a stimulating effect. So there's your stimulation. What am I stimulating? I'm stimulating blood. What's the point in more blood going to the area? Whenever you get an injury, the blood tends to sit or pool in that area. So when you bring fresh blood in, it drives the old blood out. And when you bring in the fresh blood, let's just recap what the blood contains. The blood contains red blood cells, and the red blood cells carry the nutrients. The red blood cells carry the oxygen. The red blood cells carry the water. And the red blood cells, they carry away waste. Isn't that everything we need when we've got a problem? And the blood also contains white blood cells. We looked at that when we looked at our immune system. They're basically your internal army. So that's what you're stimulating. When you stimulate with the hot water, you're stimulating more nutrients, more oxygen, more water, and more waste is being taken away, and white blood cells if they are needed. But after 3 minutes, everything starts to slow down. So now we put it in cold, and ideally the cold has a few ice cubes in it. And it is stimulating. Did you have your cold shower this morning after your hot? After my hot shower, I turned it down to cold. It's cold, but not cold enough. You know when it's cold enough, when you go, that's cold. That's the cold that you want. That's the powerful cold. Now that 30 seconds is also stimulating. The reason why the cold is so stimulating is that we're warm-blooded creatures. And when cold water touches, there's a reaction. And that reaction is, well, here's cold, move fast, move fast. So it's that reaction that causes the stimulating effect. But after 30 seconds, things are starting to close down again or slow down again. So we go back to the hot. So the whole thing's done 3 times. Can you see what we're grabbing? We're grabbing stimulation, 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 stimulate. What are we stimulating? We're stimulating blood. After 3 times, the body begins to get a little exhausted. So 3 times is a good amount. So when I got to my daughter's, I did hot and colds. 3 times. How long does that take? It's 10 minutes. It's actually nothing. And it's one of the basic hydrotherapy treatments, and it's been used for centuries. And in the area of pain relief, it's without equal. Now, I memorized that from the nurses. It's by Knipe, it's the nurse's hydrotherapy book because nurses used to learn hydrotherapy. When I was in Singapore, I think about 2018, I met a lady there who was in her 80s and she'd trained at the San Hospital in Sydney in about the 1950s. And she said, we all were taught hydrotherapy. But unfortunately, it's gone out of favor because it takes too much time. It's much easier to give someone a painkiller than to do that. Unfortunately, that's where it's gone. But the hot and cold is very powerful at pain relief. So you can put your feet in there, you can put your hands in there, you could even get a big tub and sit in there. But for the chest and for the back, for maybe upper thigh, then you can use hot compresses. So there's a couple of ways you can do it. You can roll up a wet towel and put it in the microwave. There is a use for your microwave. Keep it in your laundry. And it can heat that towel up, and you can apply that hot towel to the area. If it's too hot, just keep lifting it until it's just the right temperature, and as soon as the person can handle it, then you put a blanket over there to keep it warm, and you keep it there for 3 minutes. Then you take that off and get a bowl of iced water and wipe it over the area for 30 seconds. You might need a couple of different cloths, because that cloth you first put on, that's going to get hot very quickly. And then you get another hot one, and you do that 3 times. That can be done to chest, it can be done to back, maybe upper shoulder. But our exercise coordinator hurt his knee recently. Well, he would have 2 tubs on the ground, and he'd get on his knees and he'd put his knee in. Where there's a will, there's a way. Necessity is the mother of invention. But that is a powerful way to get pain relief into an area. And the reason why it brings pain relief is this massive supply of blood to the area is increasing healing, and that old blood taking away, it's bringing that old blood away, that has an effect to bring relief. In a crisis, this can even be done every 2 hours. It all depends on the body, it all depends what's happening. So let's go back to my foot. So I stayed with my daughter for 2 weeks. I was still limping. I could not bear any weight on that foot. And every single one of us knows there's a pain it's like when you're doing push-ups. You get to the point it starts to hurt, but you're just going to do a couple more because you want to strengthen that body. And someone comes to massage my shoulders. Oh, that hurts, but oh dear, it feels good. You know, break up those knots. But there was the pain that if I put my foot down, it was a sickening pain. It wasn't a pain of this foot hasn't been used for a while. It was, no, don't put your foot down. So I came back from America and I'm still limping and I'm still on crutches. So I decided to go to the doctor and have an x-ray. They x-rayed my foot. There was absolutely nothing wrong with my foot. They could find no problems at all. I sat in the doctor's office, we looked at the x-ray, he said, you should be walking. So I think we're about into the 4th week since the accident. I was sitting down and he got my foot and he pressed it, it didn't hurt. I had full movement of it. He scratched his head, he said, you should be walking. So I went out and I thought, right, I'm going to try, but oh no, my foot said no. Don't do that. See, you got to listen. One of the problems with painkillers, if I took painkillers and walked on that foot, as I will tell you what happened next, I would have caused a lot of damage to that foot. You got to listen to that body. And so I kept on crutches or crawling around, or when I'd be cooking, I'd have my knee on a chair. And I kept putting the comfrey poultice on at night, and if it ever hurt me, if I was up for a while and it started to hurt me, I'd do hot and colds. And then I had a visitor. She's a friend of mine. She's a vet doctor. I told her what was happening. She said, we vets are smarter than doctors because we have to think for dumb animals. I laughed. She said, I think you broke your talus bone. Now, the talus bone is a round disc and your fibula and your tibia sit on it. She said, when you had an x-ray, say this is my foot, it x-rayed sideways and it would not have shown a crack in that bone. She said, you will be on crutches for 10 weeks with a talus bone injury. She said, it will heal, but it's going to take time. So I decided to really boost my foot healing. So I did hot and colds twice a day at least, 3 times if I was able. I put the comfrey poultice on every night, and I had some comfrey cream that I put in through the day. It's got a growth stimulant, it's going to stimulate rapid healing, and round my talus bone it will help to lubricate and keep the inflammation down. I'm ready for 10 weeks. 6 weeks later, Michael and I were actually on the Spirit of Tasmania. We were traveling to Tasmania on a boat. Spirit of Tasmania is this boat that goes from the bottom of Australia to Tasmania. And we were walking along and Michael was busy. And I put my crutches down and I decided to give it a little try. Just a little try like this. And I could handle it. It actually didn't hurt. And then I started to walk. I could walk. My friend said, you'll be 10 weeks on that, but I sped it up and brought it to 6 weeks. And I have no doubt that it was my talus bone, because the pain that I experienced in trying to walk on it, that was my body telling me there's something more there. So I was glad my friend the vet visited and decided what it probably was. Because of the hot and colds I did on that ankle, because of the comfrey that I did on that ankle totally healed to the point is that ankle is as strong as my other ankle today. We live in an amazing body that has an inbuilt ability to heal itself. And I never took a painkiller. I managed all my pain with either the poultices, the hot and colds, or as I showed you when I was up in the sky, I used the ice. So water is an incredible thing. It can be used as liquid, it can be used as steam, and it can also be used as a solid, and that is in the ice. So every freezer should have a nice lot of ice in it. Ice should always be on hand for an injury. Ice can bring relief by getting that inflammation right down. But as I showed you, when you use ice, you put it on and then you put it off, and you put it on and you put it off. You keep doing that until you can handle the cold. I was reading in Japan that they often are icing bodies to do operations on them. So that's another subject again. But just to show that ice is an incredible thing. So if someone's in pain, we have to find out why they are in pain. So if someone comes to me and says, Barbara, I've got a very sore lower back. I can hardly handle the pain. I put my detective hat on. Remember Newton's third law of motion? To every action, there's an equal and an opposite reaction. The Newton's third law of motion was already defined in the Bible. I wonder if Sir Isaac Newton read his Bible. So in Proverbs 26 verse 2, the Bible says, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that he shall also reap. I'm sorry, that's not found in Proverbs 2:26. That's found in Galatians 6 verse 7. In Proverbs 2:26, the Bible says that the curse causeless shall not come. In other words, no problem happens without a cause. So if someone's got a sore lower back, I begin to investigate. Oh, and then I discovered that the lady, she might be in her 60s, she had a car accident when she was in her 20s. Where did the car accident happen? Oh, from behind. Aha. Uh-huh. What was the sore part? My lower back. Any more accidents? About 3 years later, a car came in from the side and they said that I had a bruised pelvis. Any more? When I was in my 40s, I fell on my coccyx. Can you see what's happening here? You got to investigate. She's got damage there. She's got some major damage. She said, a doctor told me that I had to be in a brace. I was in the brace for a couple of months and I went and saw another doctor and he said, no, get out of the brace. And he put her in a swimming pool and he got a physiotherapist to do physiotherapy with her. And that's what can also happen in places of injuries. Our muscles and our ligaments and our tendons, they can be strengthened to help compensate for damage in the bone. That's the good news. So can you see what I'm doing here? I'm investigating. And then I want to know how much water this person drinks. So that we're coming to the laws then. Because if a person doesn't drink enough water, they're not going to have as much fluid between the joints. So they must be well hydrated. What's the diet like? Very important that the person be eating a plant-based diet, because the body can't heal unless it has the nutrients. And those nutrients, remember, are high fiber, generous proteins and healthy fats, especially the greens with their minerals. Minerals glue us together almost, so we need those minerals. exercise. And the person says, you don't understand, I can't exercise because I'm in pain. There will be a type of exercise that you can do. And that's why I say to people who have lower back problems, go to a physiotherapist, define exactly where the problem is and get them to show you what you can do to strengthen all the other areas of your body and help your body compensate with that injury that's there. See, once the injuries has happened, you got scar tissue there. You've also got possibly a little bit of arthritis building up in there. So there might be different things happening. And what I found with some people, they just want me to give them a herbal alternative to morphine. Well, there isn't one. Do you know, there are some things that can help a little bit, and we will be looking at those. So the true remedies is what you go to. You've got to go to the temperance. You've got to stop the caffeine, stop the alcohol, stop the refined sugar, stop the acid-forming foods that certainly can damage the bones. Every day, lie out in the sunshine. Let the sunshine go on your lower back. It'll feel lovely. Make sure you're getting oxygen so that when your blood comes to the area, it's got all the nutrients. You want top quality blood to come and heal. And to get top quality blood, you need to be adhering to all of this. Rest. We need to have 8 hours sleep a night so that rest and rejuvenation and regeneration can happen in the tissues. Listening to the body is absolutely number one. Remember what I did on the plane? Now, if the ice hadn't stopped the pain, and I knew it would, maybe I would have resorted to painkillers, but I never had to, in my whole experience, go to painkillers. I just used the ice. So how do I know that the ice was what to do? Because I know it gets the inflammation down and my pain started to reduce. I had plantar fasciitis, it was about 5 years ago. I wondered why my right foot was hurting so much. I was doing all sorts of things, it was still in pain. So I went to the doctor and I said, I want to know what's happening to my foot. And it was the foot that I had landed on many years ago. I did that when I was 49, so I'm in my late 60s now. But this happened probably when I was 60 or late 50s. And I thought maybe it's a problem happening from when I did the skydive. And he had a look, he felt around my foot, and then he laughed. He said, you've got plantar fasciitis. I said, what? Plantar fasciitis? He said, yes. Have you changed your running shoes? I said, I have. I'm doing barefoot runners now. He said, you've been going at the running too hard. You've stretched and inflamed your plantar fasciitis, which is on the bottom of the foot. He said, that will take 10 months to heal. And that was it. He said, I could put a cortisone injection in to get the inflammation down. I said, nah, leave it with me. I'll work it out. So I started to do the hot and colds. Now, I would be lecturing for 2 hours, and by the end of the lecture, I'm actually getting this foot up. It's, I'm getting to 8 out of 10 pain from just being on my feet for a couple of hours. I'd go home and I'd do the hot and colds, and I could bring the 8 out of 10 pain right down to 2 out of 10 pain. It was just incredible the difference that the hot and colds made. And then at night, I would rub the comfrey into it. I knew that I just had to be patient. I also needed to be careful not to be on my feet on cement. I had to be careful with the shoes that I was wearing. I had to make sure I had well-fitting shoes. So I would say every day without exception, I did the hot and colds at least once. If possible, I would do it twice. I found to fit it in, you just have to make an appointment with yourself. If you don't make an appointment, the day will go and you'll never do it. And then you'll really suffer when you go to bed because it'll be aching and you'll think, oh, why didn't I do those hot and colds? Because it brought me so much relief. And so this is what I continued to do. Now, this is probably 8 years ago. So I'm in Australia, and on the week off, I would travel giving lectures in different towns. And I would have 2 buckets in my car. And if I'm staying in a motel or a hotel, they always have a fridge, they always have a freezer, and they always have a kettle, an electric kettle, because people want to make teas and coffees. So no matter where I went, I could do the hot and colds. So I continued to do it. And lecturing at night, I always came home and did the hot and colds because my foot was aching. Now, if I hadn't done the hot and colds, I don't think I would have slept because the foot was aching so much. What would most people do? Just go and get a painkiller. The problem with a painkiller is you start to walk and stand on that foot when you shouldn't. It's actually telling you to stop and put your feet up. Took 6 months. And so what did the doctor say? 10 months. So I was able to bring it right down by just simply doing the hot and colds. So we had a lady do our program, and she did our program maybe 2 years after my experience. And she was limping. She was limping around like this. And I said, "What's the matter with your foot?" She said, "I've got plantar fasciitis." I said, "Oh, how long have you had that?" She said, 18 months. So 18 months she's been limping around with plantar fasciitis. And when it gets too painful, she takes a painkiller. And what happens then? She starts to walk on it when she should not walk on it. She should be putting it up. This is the listen, mindfulness. How frustrating is it when you go to a doctor who won't listen to you? I'm glad they're not all like that. How frustrating it must be to your body when it's trying to tell you to stop and you don't stop. If you push through that pain and keep going when the body says to stop, you're going to do more damage. And then it's going to take even longer. And so with this lady, she was a little overweight. Maybe she was about 40 kilos overweight. And of course, that also can make it hard when you've got extra weight on the area. So we did hot and colds on her every morning and every night. It was easy. She's in the health center. The equipment's all there. Within 2 days, she's just walking like this. She said, "I can't believe it. I can't believe the results that I've just had in 2 days. We were also encouraging her to rub the comfrey cream in every night. Now, her plantar fasciitis isn't healed, but what's her body just said to her? Yes, this is what I want. So she went home an excited lady, and she said, "I'm getting buckets and I'm going to do this," because it brought her so much relief. Such a simple tool. And that's why the why is a very big why with pain, because there is always a reason for pain. Everyone I know is managing something, and if you can manage it, you're doing very well. So let's go back to the lady with the sore back. She said to me, "I believe there's inflammation all through my body." Why? Why? So when I investigated, I found this injury and that injury and that injury. And I said, "It's time to move that body." The beauty of a pool is you've got no weight. But starting to move the body is important. And when you move the body, what you're doing is you're getting blood into the area. And, you know, a simple one is even just see this one that I'm doing here. All I'm doing is lifting my foot up. Can you see what my pelvis is doing? It's just going, and that is a beautiful releaser of that lower back and that pelvic area. In fact, when I went to the Cook Islands, I learned that the girls do that hula dancing, which is a move like what I just did. They're taught from young girls. And unfortunately today, they don't dress. They dress very, well, hardly any clothes on, and it's more a tourist attraction. But I said to the ladies there, this is such a good move for women's pelvises. It's just a pity that it's been commercialized and almost become a sexual thing. But especially women need to move that pelvic area. And there are certain moves that you can do on the ground. Now, I hope my cameraman's going to let me do this. I'm going to show you one that is a specific for the lower back. And it's just this one. You might be aware of that one. And you'll find that when you do that, you can actually push yourself around even a little bit more. So, and do that on either side. That's great for releasing the back. And also lying on your stomach and pretending to swim. That also bends that back there. So your personal trainer, your physiotherapist, even osteopath, massage therapist can advise on all the things that you can do at home to get blood into that area. Again, that blood must be kept pure by your 8 laws of health. So you've got good quality blood that can heal, because it is the blood that is the healer. So encouraging blood into that area by movement, by exercise. Everyone must exercise. It's just a not negotiable. So when someone's got lower back or joint pain, they must not run, and they can't run anyway. What they can do is they can rebound. So with lower back problems, I say to people, go to the gym and get on the rebounder, and you just start with this. That's all you do. That's called the health bounce. Even just backwards and forwards, just like this, and you'll get that rebounder moving a little bit. And if it doesn't hurt, then you can start jumping a little bit. If it hurts, what do? Stop. You just stop and go back to that. That's listening. You must listen, because your body will tell you what no man can tell you. So stretch that body, move that body. Let me tell you about another experience that I had. I had a man come to me. It was at a youth camp, and he was a young man. He would have been about 16. And there are about 100 kids there. And I was the health speaker. And these girls brought him and said, he's got a sore knee. Can you fix his knee? So I began to investigate. I said, have you injured the knee? Yeah, I tore a muscle in the knee, he said, about 2 months ago. I said, oh, what have you been doing? And he got a packet out of his pocket that was full of big pink tablets. And I knew straight away they were heavy painkillers. I said, who gave you these? Oh, my auntie, she's a doctor and she just gives them to me. Ugh. What he's doing is he gets up, takes the painkiller and goes and plays soccer. And then goes and runs around all day. The painkiller is stopping the pain, but the pain is there to tell him, stop. I said to him, every time you take that painkiller, you are losing your message from your body that's telling you to stop. He said, well, what'll I do? I said, I think you've got to get a pair of crutches. I think you've got to start doing hot and colds to that. You've got to start doing poultices, and you've got to get that leg up. Oh, he did not like my advice. He just wanted me to have a cream or something that he could put on his knee and it would be instantly fixed. That's why I wanted no painkillers when I hurt my ankle. I wanted to hear. I wanted to hear the pain. We had a lady do our program and she was on very heavy morphine for pain. She had stomach cancer. Now, we're not going to touch that morphine, because when someone is in advanced stages of cancer and they're in a lot of pain, it is mercy to give them something to ease that pain. Absolutely. I have no problem with that at all. Now, we discovered that her bowels hadn't moved for 6 days. And so we gave her herbs and water treatments and we got the bowels moving. We got her gastrointestinal tract moving. Within 24 hours, she could halve her morphine. Within 5 days, she was off all morphine. That's why you've got to investigate. Why is it there? Now, every case is different. That's why there cannot be a blanket for every case. You've got to investigate and find out why the pain is there. And sometimes it's damage that has been done over many, many years. And then you've got scar tissue buildup. So when there's scar tissue buildup, you can apply a castor oil compress. What castor oil does is it penetrates very, very deep. So with castor oil, it penetrates very, very deep. And wherever castor oil penetrates, it breaks up lumps, bumps, adhesions. So castor oil compresses are excellent for breaking up scar tissue. And some people who had surgery maybe 20 years ago are starting to have problems because of the scar tissue. What's also important is hot and colds on the stomach, or a big tub where they can sit in the hot and sit in the cold. Then you're getting a massive supply of blood into the area. And then the castor oil compress. So with the castor oil compress, it can be used again and again and again. You are best not to take the castor oil by mouth. You basically put it on the outside of the body. I have met several ladies who were able to break down their breast lumps with castor oil. Now, when the lumps were big, they were painful. They said the castor oil brought that lump right down. Not overnight. And not even in a month, you know, it's possibly 20 years in the making. But the good news is it's not 20 years to go away, but little by little by little. So we had one young man who came to do our program. He was only 15 and he had pain in his rectum, around the anal area. He'd already had a couple of operations there. So he's got a bit of scar tissue there. And sometimes he leaked bowel fluid, which of course was terribly embarrassing for a 15-year-old boy. Sometimes he had constipation and then he had no leakage. So that told me the gut's not working. And so we got the gut working well. We gave him some slippery elm, which coats, soothes and heals the lining of the gut. And we did hot and colds in the sitz baths. See, with the sitz baths, you've got a tub like this, and he would sit in the tub like that. So the water's like this. And we put a big smile on his face because this brought him incredible relief. So we did hot for 30 seconds and we did hot for 3 minutes, cold for 30 seconds, and we did that three times. We did it every morning and every night. And he had no accidents when he was with us. His bowels are working a lot better. And these hot and colds brought incredible relief to the pain that he'd been feeling in his anus. We also encouraged him to freeze castor oil. So you put castor oil on, say, some cotton wool, and you make it the size of your little finger, and then soak that cotton wool with the castor oil and you freeze it. It will take 3 days to freeze. So what we did was when they were frozen, he inserted the castor oil into his anus, so it's like a pessary, and he left it there all night. So in the morning when he went to the bathroom, it would come out with his daily evacuation. So he did that every night. We did the hot and colds twice a day. And he went home a very happy young man. He went home with no pain. And when he'd come, he said his pain averaged 4, 5, sometimes 6 out of 10. Definitely 6 out of 10 if he was on his feet a lot. Now remember, he's only 15. And the doctors had said they could not do any more operations to the anal area. They were trying to tighten it a little so he wouldn't have leakage. But those hot and colds, they had a powerful effect on that anal area. I didn't hear any more. And about 5 years later, a lady did our program and she said, he was my nephew. She said, he never had another leakage. She said, it's just quite incredible. He and his parents cannot believe the turnaround. Now, I did suggest when he goes home that he do the hot and cold sitz baths for every evening for 30 days. Then he could have a month break and do it for another 30 days. It only takes 15 minutes. I said, just find a time where you can do it. So he did it in the evening, which of course was the best time. He might do it in the evening and then have his shower and go to bed. Now, you didn't have to talk him into doing this. He was just so excited. Anyway, I met someone who knew him 10 years later. So this is happening about 18 years ago. And they said, he's married now and his wife's expecting their first child. How nice. Just such simple treatments. Now, there is something. So for pain, we're going to say, listen to the body, the hydrotherapy, which is the hot and colds. And also poultices. I've had a few people, especially ladies, tell me pain with fibroids. They've done the hot and colds. They've applied the castor oil compresses to the abdomen. They've also applied a cream to help them balance the hormones because it's the imbalance that is feeding the fibroids. In fact, one girl was rushed to hospital in terrible pain. They found she had the fibroid, but she said, no, I want to deal with this myself. And so she did the compresses. And I have to put this word here. It's another C. We've got castor oil compresses consistency. Most people don't do it long enough. It must be done every day, every day, every day. Every day. Every day you might put a little bit more castor oil on. She told me that 10 months later she had a scan and the fibroid was gone. Now the fibroid was about, I think, 4.5 centimetres by 4.5 centimetres. What's that in inches? Maybe about 3 inches by 3 inches. So that's quite an incredible story. And that night she was in pain. But when she went to the doctor, had the scan, discovered what it discovered what it was, then she was able to come home and do the natural treatments and get relief. I've also known people to have the operation to have the fibroid out, and 4 years later the fibroid, another one, has grown. And that's why you must address the cause. That's very important. Another poultice that can be particularly good for painful joints is the ginger. So the ginger poultice. Ginger pulls inflammation out of the joints. And I've had people tell me that they've had the ginger poultice on for sometimes only even 2 hours and they get 50% pain reduction. Because what the ginger poultice does, and mostly it's for joints, painful joints, what it does is it's anti-inflammatory, gets that inflammation down. But I do suggest maybe do the ginger poultice for a couple of hours and then maybe overnight do the castor oil compress so you can play with those, apply the comfrey cream. It's easy to get the cream, and in most shops that sell vitamins and minerals and creams, you can get a comfrey cream. So the poultices are important. Listen is important. The eight laws are vital. So you get good quality blood. But I'm going to target one of them here, and that is movement. When you move that body, you get fresh blood supply into that area. Some people are experiencing pain in areas that just haven't moved for years. You've got to start moving that body. And that movement can come in the form of stretches. It can come in the form of different exercises. This is where maybe the personal trainer would help. But one of the best exercises, other than the stretches and the one I showed you on the floor, is just walking, just your gentle walking, and get that body moving. Cayenne pepper. Cayenne pepper is an analgesic. So what an analgesic is, it's a painkiller. Now, it's not going to do what morphine does, but it certainly can help to relieve the pain. So a person can apply cayenne pepper compress to the area. That'll really tingle the area and a great way of getting more blood into the area. But cayenne pepper can be taken internally. And a construction worker told me this when I was in Bermuda. He said, I've got a story for you. He's a big guy, works in construction. He said, I hurt my back. And he said, it was just hurting me so much I couldn't sleep at night. And he said, after about a week of not being able to sleep much and being up in the night, and I had about nine out of ten pain, he said, I prayed and asked God for help. And God said, cayenne pepper. He said, I got this strong impression. And he thought, why would you take cayenne pepper for pain? But it was so strong he did it. He took half a teaspoon in a little bit of water. He drank it. It certainly tingled, but he noticed after 5 minutes that his pain had gone from 9 out of 10 down to 7 out of 10. So he did it again. And he said after 10 minutes, his pain went from 7 out of 10 to 5 out of 10. So he did it again, and he said his pain level went from 5 out of 10 to 3 out of 10. He said he could sleep with that. The next day, he was so excited. He said to his wife, you wouldn't believe what happened to me last night. He said, I got this strong impression from God to do cayenne pepper. So he rang his brother up, who is in the US and is a nutritionist. And his brother said, yeah, cayenne pepper's an analgesic. It has the effect for pain relief. So that's exciting to know. You've also got, if someone has a headache, you've got feverfew. If someone is prone to migraines, yes, you must look at why, and you must also look at, is the spine in alignment? Maybe going to a chiropractor, an osteopath can get that alignment in place. Are they drinking adequate water? So one has to investigate why it would be so. Some people have migraines at period time, so that's a hormonal imbalance. So that needs to be remembered. So when someone has a migraine, they can chew on feverfew. Now, if you haven't got it growing, and And if you chew that fever fuel, oh, it is so bitter. But chewing it immediately gets a bit of release in the head. But you can buy fever few tablets. Also, aspirin, or Aspro, it's a painkiller used in Australia. It comes from willow bark. So willow bark also has an analgesic effect. But I say to people, don't expect it to do what Nurofen does. It'll often take the edge off. And the beauty of the willow bark tablets, you can take two every hour. You don't have to just take it fourth hourly like you would do for a painkiller. So these three are herbs that can be taken to bring relief. But remember, you gotta look at why is that pain there, and take steps to remedy the source or the reason of that pain. And often those hot and colds can bring relief. The comfrey can bring relief. The castor oil is more a gentle one and a long term to break up that scar tissue. But the ginger poultice, I've seen it bring relief very quickly. We had a guy who was a barrister, which is the highest level of law in Australia. He was 38. He said, I've come to your retreat to stop drinking for a week. He said, I'm not going to stop alcohol. I just want a week off. And then later in the week, he said, I didn't tell you about my little toe. He said, it's my middle toe. It's a small toe. But he said, it's the knuckle is up high. He said, to the point where I can't wear shoes. He said, it's been paining me for 18 months. The doctor says it's gout. So we made a tiny little ginger poultice. And we wrapped it on, we asked God to bless it, and he went to sleep. The next morning he came running down the hill. He's a very quiet man. He didn't say much, but he was yelling something and we couldn't understand what he was saying. And he came running in with a big smile on his face. He said, the toe is back to normal and I have no pain. That's incredible. Just one night on a ginger poultice. Now, it's not always that quick, but sometimes it is. But the good news is that through the lectures, he discovered that the alcohol is very acid forming and it's contributing to the gout. And so is the big steaks he have every night, the meat. And so in the last consultation, he said, I'm going to become a vegetarian and I'm going to stop drinking alcohol, because he said, I don't want any more gout. So that's the good news. He discovered that there was a better way of living. So I trust that you've heard little bits and pieces today that will enable you to help you conquer your pain. And understand too that we are given a body that has the ability to heal itself. And when we do have pain, there's a reason for that pain, and we need to find out what that reason is and implement the different strategies and principles that you can do to bring pain relief.
If this episode impacted you, please share it with others. Amazing Discoveries is a donor-supported ministry. To help us keep producing content like this, visit amazingdiscoveries.org. And, as always, you can find the visual presentation of this episode on adtv.watch.